So Sikor was ordained as a pastor with me in December, but the mission and the heart was that God called her for the campus. So Tigerberg Medical Campus, we're starting services there today. She's already been walking along the road with most of the students, one-on-one discipleship. They have an evangelist in week, and since then, she decided want to have services. Sikor will still be forming part of Boston, but will be predominantly at Tigerberg. The reason why we're praying for her in front of everyone and sending her is that saying that we as a church agrees with what God is doing. We accept and we give our blessing. So we're giving our blessing to say, we as a church, Sikor, we are with you, we'll pray with you, and the students will be serving alongside you and the team there. We are praying with you. So obviously with that being said, you won't see Sikor that often, but she will still be around when she comes, and hopefully some of the students will also come to the morning service. But they have an evening service at 5 o'clock. Is it set? Set time, 5 o'clock, that they will be having the service. It starts today at 5 at campus. Before COVID, we used to have services at Tigerberg campus. We actually, when I started coming to Shofar, we actually attended that campus. That's why I went to America. So we're just going to pray for her as a church. I want to see you to, as Carolyn anoints her, we're just going to stretch out our hands, just saying that we agree with God's work and what God's doing. And as a church of Shofar Boston, we bless Sikor to do what God has called her to do. Can we just do that quickly? Yeah. You want to say something? Okay. I'm going to cry now. Talent will also be facilitating her at times. So you'll see most of it. You'll be here in the morning, but sometimes you'll see both of them. Sometimes you only see him. Or sometimes you won't even see both of them. So we have to give them rest as well. Okay. Talent, you can stand next to Sikor. Man, Carolyn, we're just going to pray with you. Yes. Father, we thank you just for your vessel, Lord. Thank you for Sikor. Yeah, thank you that we can just say that Father, we bless her as she goes, Lord. We send her into what it is that you call that tiger book, Lord. Father, we go and we just say that you are the one who makes her way for her, Lord. Father, thank you that you are the one who brings the team around her, Lord. Father, I pray for strength for her, Lord. Pray for vision, pray for, the strategy, Lord. On how you wanted to reach the campus, Lord, Father. And we pray, Lord, for open doors in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We pray for open doors for students, Lord, just to buy into what it is that God has called her to do. And as a church today, Father, Shofar Boston, we say we bless her, Lord, as we send her to do your work today in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have started. We bless you. We bless the work. You said, look up at the fields. The harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. Thank you that, Lord, you've sent here into the harvest, and thank you that you provide what's needed for the harvest. Lord, we thank you that all is for the kingdom. And thank you that, Lord, your vineyard, your work will go on. Because you started the work, you build your church. Thank you, Lord. We even as we bless Sikor for partnering and for we partner with you, but it is your work, it is your church, it is what you do, and we come along with what you do, and therefore we bless you today for the privilege in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless you. We'll see you still around. Yes.
Not related to campus. Just a quick picture. I'm not a picture person. I usually, at some point I was very suspicious of everyone who sees pictures. But I have been freed and delivered. Hallelujah. I just saw, just as we were singing that first song, just a picture of just the lion roaring. And I really felt such a, like a jealousy, like the jealousy of God over his own. And what was so interesting for me is that as he was roaring, I started to hear the chains breaking, like snapping as he was roaring. And I just want to release that word over us, that I believe Jesus is roaring over his own. And things are breaking in the spirit, and we will start to see manifestations of that in the natural. Whatever that may look like for you, things that you may have been struggling with, things that you may have been trusting for, I just see just those chains breaking as he's roaring over us. So I just want to just release that word. Thank you, Lord. I really believe that God is calling us into that place of identity and healing, and he's really going to I guess break those chains that are holding us back from being who he has called us to be from the beginning. And this is the sense I've been getting for the last few weeks, that our lives, our real lives, are hidden in Christ. So the minute we are joined to him, that's when our real lives start to appear. And oftentimes there are things that do hold us back, or things that we're sort of wrestling with. But God is dealing with that. And I loved what Sam shared this morning when he said that it's about him. The chains breaking is a byproduct. Hallelujah. And we just thank him for that. We give him glory for what he is doing. So if that resonates with you, pray that over your life. And say, God, let it be so. I agree with that word. I receive that word. And testify, guys, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. When something is broken, even if it seems small and insignificant, share it with someone. Share it at church so that other people can be encouraged, so that they can also start to see that in their own lives. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, sis, for sharing. Yeah, so I have the privilege of welcoming Günther this morning. Just going to not share too long about Günther because I can go on for days. Just how amazing he is. But Günther is a father to the fatherless. And he's a husband to Karen, but he's also a husband to the orphan, to the widow. The widow, in that sense, he makes sure that they understand the heart of the Father. That's what Günther's heart is for. I don't know if I'm sharing it right or doing it justice at all, but what I've learned from him over these years is that Günther really has a heart for the orphans and the widow. Those who has no home to go to, he creates a space physically in his home sometimes for people. And yeah, he's just a really an inspiring blessing to me over these years. So I met Günther, just a short story, in 2007 when I walked into rehab. So that's how long I've known him. I've cleaned for 16 years now, so I've known Günther for 16 years. Yeah, and actually now July, I came out of rehab. Yeah, so which was an amazing time. I'm just going to pray for you. Father, I thank you just for your vessel, Lord. Thank you for this blessing that Günther is to us as a family, but to your kingdom, Lord, and we receive from him, Lord, as he received from you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bradley, for that introduction. 16 years, right? Can you believe that? Praise the Lord. Yeah. I actually met my wife the same year I met Bradley. So it's quite an interesting story, but we can talk about that later. Thank you for inviting us, Bradley, Carolyn, you guys, leadership. Thank you so much for opening your hearts. It's such a joy walking into the space and sensing the atmosphere, you know. People of faith, worshiping God, giving praise, giving thanksgiving. And it's definitely something special here. We can sense that. So well done for what you guys have been doing. I know you've only been in this space since May, but been gathering in different spaces since January this year, right? So, yeah, thank you for just your obedience. Myself and Karen, we are at Shofar Franschhoek. That's where we pretty much locally serve, but we go to different congregations as the Lord leads us. You mentioned about the orphan and vulnerable. So we're part of an organization called Kin Culture, and just connecting parents with the orphans, placing orphans in families, in homes. So we actually have a foster conference, those who are interested, a foster conference coming up on the 26th of August. So if you want to register, come and chat to us afterwards, just creating awareness again of the need out there. We're also involved with coaching and counseling in different communities and farms, and God is just breaking chains. He's setting people free. And we can see that. It's a joy to actually experience that on a daily basis. So, yeah. Guys, are you ready? Let's do this. So, I've been praying about this message when Bradley invited me. The Lord just dropped this word in my spirit. And, yeah, I've been thinking about many people going through the motions. You're here, and in the next moment, you're over there. And you're trusting the Lord for a word. You're trusting the Lord for direction, for vision, for strategy. And many people are going through transition. They're going through changes. And those are the times when it's so important to be mindful of what the Word of God says and what the Spirit of God is wanting to do. On a personal level, as a family, as a church, as a school, at your company, wherever you are, there are certain rhythms. And I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to just press the pause button this morning and give us a picture of what kingdom can look like in that space. At home, with your family, at work, at school, on the campus. Amen. Very excited about that. Praise the Lord for the release happening there. And so let's look at the scriptures this morning. I'll read a few scriptures. If you have a notebook, you can just write some things down. But I'm trusting the Lord that you will hear the word of God for you in your season. Okay, we're all going through different seasons. And it's important to just follow the rhythms of the Spirit. Okay, and so let's go to the first scripture. It's in Jeremiah chapter 6. But of a background, Jeremiah the prophet, the Lord spoke through Jeremiah the prophet about Judah stepping out of its place, you know, and having other idols, worshiping other idols. And so Judah received the word of correction, come back. And many times there's a mixture. You know, many times there's compromise. Many times we, you know, one moment we say amen, we thank God for what he's doing, and then the world starts to influence us with its ideas. And it's important for us to stand still at the crossroads. Let's look at what the Word of God says here. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 in the New Living Translation. This is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its paths and you will find rest for your souls. Different translation says, stop at the crossroads, look around, ask for the ancient paths. Ancient paths, old ways. Many people today are so modern in things. You know, we've got modern technology. We thank the Lord for that. But there are new ideas wanting to filter in into the church and want to distract us from what God has called us to be and to do. Amen? And so God is saying, stop at the crossroads. We are living busy lives, right? We're in the rat race. It's busy. Everything is busy. Those of you who have children, if you've been married for a while and a child comes in the scene, life gets busier, right? The rhythms changes. I can hear an amen there in the background. When you start a new job, a different company, rhythm starts to change. Okay, so life gets busy, not just physically, but most of the time in here. Life gets so busy, and sometimes these distractions come, and we can't hear the Lord's voice. And the phone is on all the time. We get messages all the time. Everybody is pulling you into different spaces. And so that's why it's important for us to stop, pause. So God is saying here, stop at the crossroads. So intersection, okay? What's happening there? We have to make a choice. Am I going left? Am I going right? Am I going forward? Am I taking a step back? So I believe God is saying to us today that we are all at crossroads. Okay, it can be a physical shift. It can be a shift from walking away from a sinful, a harmful pattern, from addiction into sobriety. Amen. Shaking off the chains that hold you down and stepping into freedom. From the known to the unknown. From the familiar to the unfamiliar. Those times can be scary. Those moments can be scary sometimes, am I right? And so when we come to these moments of having to stand still, we have to be alert. Pay attention to the Lord's voice. Sadly, this verse ends very sad because it says there, it's not on this slide, but it says there, the people responded saying, we will not do it. We will not obey. But I believe we are a people that will say, yes, Lord, we will obey. We will listen because our hearts have been moved and touched by the Spirit of God. So let's just be mindful of these crossroad moments. It's a place of busyness. It's a place of where life is happening. You know, at the crossroads, life is happening. It's not just a thing of coming to a meeting on a Sunday and be all religious and acting all you know, different. Life is happening for us during the week. When you drive in your car, you're in traffic, when you're in your office at the desk, when you have to make certain decisions, life is happening for you, and guess what? The pressure is on you. When you're at school or wherever you are in a certain group, when there's pressure on you to conform, life gets busy and life gets challenging. And so I believe the Spirit of God is wanting to strengthen us this morning and say, stop, stand still, look, ask for the ancient paths. Ask for the good way, because in that you will find rest for your souls. So God wants to give his people rest. Amen? Many people, you know, it's like a cool thing these days if you ask someone, how's it going today? Oh, I'm busy. As if that's the cool thing to do. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's the trend these days. If you're busy, you know, it's happening for you. But we've learned to pause and to step back and say, Lord, show us how to be more effective, to operate from a place of rest. So there's a difference there. It takes a mind shift. Sometimes you're actually more productive when you're in rest. When you're in God's rest, you're more productive, you're more accurate, and you're more focused. In fact, you get more clarity as to what to do in certain situations. In your family, at business, at school, wherever God takes you into, you don't strive. So sometimes God's people, they strive. They try to break through. They try to live righteously. But we all know that in the new covenant, it's because of his righteousness. Amen? And it's because of what he has done on the cross. So it's a big mind shift. So recognize the moments when God wants to transition you. That's what I talk about this morning. Recognize the moments when God wants to transition you from here to there. From the known to the unknown. From the familiar to the unfamiliar. Amen? And sometimes those moments can be frustrating. God loves to do this. He loves to press those pressure points. And you're frustrated. What's going on, God? What's happening here? Something is shifting. Pay attention to that. We can look at what Scripture says. I love the book of Proverbs. It's filled with wisdom. And I believe that God has got a word of wisdom for you this morning. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1 to 4. Again, the New Living Translation. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes a stand at the, where? At the crossroads. Okay, intersection. She takes a stand at the crossroads by the gates at the entrance to the town. On the road leading in, she cries out, I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all the people. Wisdom is calling your name. Wisdom is calling my name. Wisdom is asking for us, for our attention. Yes, sir, I'm here to obey. In the spirit, it should be like, yes, sir, I hear your voice. Jesus said, my sheep knows my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. So there's a distinction between the enemy's voice that deceives us, wants to deceive us, and the Lord's voice wants to lead us in the way we should go. Amen. The Lord wants to lead us in the way that you should go. The enemy wants to oppress and manipulate us into things we should not do. So there's a place of discernment. Lord, what are you saying in these moments? So look at where wisdom is at. Wisdom is at the crossroads, at the intersection, where everything is happening, where life is happening, where it's busy. Wisdom is saying, I want your attention. Pay attention to my voice. Pay attention to my word. I've got an answer for that problem that you've been battling with for years. That addiction, that issue, that oppression, that anxiety you've been battling with for years, I've got the answer for that. Stop at the crossroads and ask, Lord, show me what is wisdom saying. The ancient paths. And what's the result? When you walk in it, you'll find rest. Amen? So many believers, I'm talking about people in the church, are suffering from depression, anxiety, fear. Fear of failure, condemnation, guilt. Amen? And I believe that's not God's best. I really do. And during worship, thank you for those who shared words. It confirms what I saw. I saw Jesus spreading out his arms. As scripture says, he comes with healing in his wings. Amen. Amen. And the Lord is here. He's giving us healing, releasing healing. But sometimes we are in such a rush. We want to go places. And it's good to be industrious and to break new ground and to create. God has called us for that. But I think in these moments, we need to be mindful. Lord, what are you saying? Because sometimes a small adjustment can cause breakthrough. A small adjustment can bring healing and deliverance. Amen? In your family, perhaps, there are cycles of pain. Maybe it's generational. Maybe you've been sitting with this thing for decades, and God is saying, just pause. Just pause. Just rest in me, and things can shift. Praise God. So wisdom's at the crossroads, also at the entrance of the city gates. Very interesting. As we transition, we go into a new territory, right? As we transition, we break new ground, whether it's going to a new school, a new job, ministry, new church plant. Wisdom is saying, pay attention. I've got something to tell you. What is the word God has released over this congregation? I know you guys are meditating on that, right? Meditate on it and ask the Lord to fill your cup even more. Because as we step out in obedience, God gives us more. The crossroads calls for action. The first action is stop. Stop what you're doing and listen and ask for the good way. And then the next action is rest. And after rest, we get clarity and focus, and then we take the first step. Stepping stones. We all are on a journey, and I believe God is giving us the first step. I love what Karen shared this morning. Take that first step in the Spirit. Sometimes you and I have to do prophetic acts. It might look silly or insignificant or stupid or whatever, but in the Spirit, if God says take a physical step, you do it. I remember when I lived in America a couple of years ago, I was working at the summer camp and going through a very tough time. It was a very ungodly environment, talking about being pressured to do certain things. And I had to make a decision. And this friend of mine, we were praying together early one morning, and he said, take your Bible and stand on it. I'm thinking to myself, this is so not spiritual, you know. What, I can't do that. But I felt in my spirit, just do it, you know. And I stood on my Bible, and I felt something shift. Don't despise prophetic acts. When God tells you to do something, whether it's jumping up and singing a new song, do it, because in that lies your rest and your release. That's wisdom speaking. Amen? Wisdom to the world does not make sense. In fact, the Bible says in Corinthians, the world want to discern these things with their five senses. What they can see, what they can hear, what they can taste, what they can smell. for they can touch, right? But we who are spiritual, we discern these things through the spirit, the inner man. I know something here. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't have to make sense, but I know something. God is calling me to make a shift. He's calling me to say something in the midst of a confused situation, and you obey. God is saying, draw something, paint something. God's going to release a prophetic grace on this church. I believe it very strongly. And in that, things will shift, because as we step out, we release the prophetic anointing. Because the prophetic anointing is about taking new ground, breaking new ground. Amen? So if that's for you, just receive it and pray into it. Pray in the Spirit, Lord, show me what is my prophetic act in my community, at my school, at my home. Don't despise these things, because in it lies your breakthrough and healing. Amen? So at the city gates, at the entrance, wisdom is asking you to stand still. Listen to me. Because as you take wisdom in your heart, you go into that space with vision and clarity. Some of us are so in a rush to start new things. And we go into it with a worldly mindset. And we mess things up. Have you seen that? Christians get great ideas. They get inspired. God has spoken, and I'm going. And I admire courage, but sometimes we can cause more harm for not paying attention. And so I love what God has done with Shofar Boston, because I've been talking to Bradley. You guys have journeyed together. You've come together in homes. You've broken bread. You've prayed into this. So I want to say well done for being conscious of the rhythms of the Spirit. Because God honors that. Amen? And so wisdom is calling your name. Wisdom is a person. Amen? Wisdom is not just some blob floating around. Wisdom is a person, praise God. It's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has a voice. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. He is your counselor. Amen? He is your teacher. He gives you advice. Don't go there right now. Pause. Don't go with that person that's going to be compromised. Walk away. Some of us have to walk away from certain relationships that has become toxic. And it's robbed you from your joy, from your peace. Walk away. Be very adamant and do it. During times of transition, wisdom wants to partner with you. And I love what the Holy Spirit is doing. Thank you. The Holy Spirit wants to take your hand and say, come, let's do this together. The Holy Spirit is your partner. Yoke with Him. Yoke with the Holy Spirit. And as you yoke with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to step away from something different. If it's not Holy Spirit, what Spirit is it? Fill in the blank. If it's not Holy Spirit, what Spirit is it? Who are we partnering with, or with what are we partnering with? And we ask the question, how did this happen? The fruit will be obvious. The fruit will show what you've been partnering with. So partner with the Holy Spirit. I love what Proverbs 1:23 says. It's not on there, but it says, if you turn at my rebuke, if you turn at my reproof, I, wisdom, will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. If you turn at my rebuke. So you can see the picture here. Someone walking one direction. And wisdom is saying, turn at my reproof. And if you do that, wisdom is saying, I will pour out my spirit on you. Isn't it a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit? Like this massive cup. And He's pouring this cup over onto you to fill you with wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is, Karen baked a cake last week. It was our boy's fourth birthday. And every year there's a theme. Last year it was fire trucks. To build a cake, a fire truck cake. And this year is into volcanoes and lava. Don't ask me why. So I watched all these programs. And so Karen was saying, okay, I'm going to attempt the bike, a volcano kike. And she did it. She did an amazing job. And so this volcano erupted, obviously not a real eruption, not real lava, but some chemicals that she mixed, and this thing erupted. And so the main ingredient in a cake is what, Karen? Flour, right? Wisdom is the main ingredient for what God is wanting to build in our lives. The principal thing, the main ingredient for your business, for your ministry, for what God has called you to do, sir, musically. Wisdom is the main ingredient. Release, write this song now. Step out and release this word. In your field where you are on campus, wisdom is saying, shift things around. The main ingredient. Amen. So seek wise counsel. Wisdom gives us wise counsel. With all the excitement about mountaintops, there comes the valley. Yes, sir. Who loves being in the valley? Let's be honest. So I love being on the mountaintops. When Karen came back from the Zeal conference, she was glowing. I was home with my boy. She went away for a couple of days. She came home just glowing and like soaking in God's presence. And I got the overflow of what she experienced, mountaintop moments, right? Wherever we are, whether it's here, we experience God's presence, and then we go into the valley where life is happening, at the intersections, at the crossroads, where life is happening. Valleys are needed for you and I. I don't like it very much, but I've learned to appreciate it over time, because valleys tests the faith. What's inside of you? That word you received is going to be tested. Did God really say? Are you sure this is what God has called you to do? And all those old chochas, those bugs, are going to come and bug you. And it's a time of being stretched. We've received a word. God is saying, I mean, those beautiful things we've received a while ago, different seasons, we received different words. And then the person said, but be prepared to be stretched. And I'm like, Aina, I've already been stretched. I can't be stretched any further, you know? So I'm like, Lord, if this is you, keep on stretching. Because I know when you do it, it's going to be good. When you stretch us, it's there to build us up. Amen. When God stretches you, something is coming. When God stretches you, He's preparing you for the new territory. He's preparing you for your new assignment. So appreciate the valleys, the testing of your identity. Big one, very big one. A lot of people faint in the valley because they don't know who they are. An enemy comes and he's like, are you sure you're a child of God? Are you sure you're born again? Are you sure you've overcome this thing? Did God really say? And your identity, if He can crush you there, He's got you. Jesus, the Son of God, remember, before He started His earthly ministry, heaven opened, Father spoke, behold, this is my Son, listen to Him. Affirmation. Who are we to think we can just float around? We need to hear words of affirmation. And because we are working with the orphan and the vulnerable, we know how valuable this is, how important words of affirmation can be to a young man or to a young girl. Having lived with trauma and pain, when God speaks a word of affirmation over you, what happens, Bradley? You rise up, amen, on the inside. God has spoken this to me. I don't care what you say, devil. I know who I am. Satan's out there to bully you. He's out there to bully you in your identity. He wants to crush you. Don't pay attention to those lies. Because if he can bully you, he robs you of your confidence and your boldness. Especially after God has given you an assignment and a word. His tactic in the valleys is to rob you from your true identity. and to break you down. Pay attention to the word. Amen. So part of being stretched, you're going to build resilience. You know? We speak a lot to different groups about breaking out of comfort zones. In the comfort zone, we know what's happening. We know who is there. We know what to expect. But sometimes God stretches you and he calls you to step out of that comfort zone. And if we don't step out, we won't know what's on the inside of us. So God wants to build resilience in you to make you strong. Amen? And so it's part of the stepping stone. It's part of the journey. Look for the gold in the valleys. We know the mountaintops moments. It's joyful. It's powerful. It's glorious. But when we go through the valley, it's sometimes heavy and lonely. But I found in the desert and in the valleys, there are gems of wisdom, nuggets of wisdom that you will use in the next season. Often I've experienced that. Listen to a great man and woman of God. They'll often talk about moments where they've been in the low. There are nuggets of wisdom and truth for you to pick up and take to your next season as you transition. Don't despise seasons in the valley. Amen. So take the word of God very seriously. And God's word talks about your motives as well. I forgot to mention that. The motive of the heart will be tested. Your motives will be tested. And sometimes we say, yes, Lord, I want to do this for you. But sometimes the motive is still very fleshly. So God will test the motive. Hebrews chapter 4 says, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It brings the vision between soul and spirit, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. So the word of God will come to test your motives and your intentions. As we transition, not everybody's going to run with you. As you transition, you're going to have what I call an inner circle. There's a core group of people that God is calling to walk with you. Even Jesus in his day, you know, he had 12 disciples, right? And he had many other followers. They witnessed the miracles. They've seen him healing the blind and the lame and brought multiplication, feeding the thousands. But he had moments, key moments in his ministry where he only took 3 disciples, Peter, James, and John. Go study the Gospels. 3 key moments, the Mount of Transfiguration, when the prophets came, appeared, only Peter, James, and John were with him on that mountaintop moment. Why not the rest? Certain disciples came with him. And it's those moments you don't want to share with everybody. Don't cast your pearl before the swines. Don't share everything with everybody. I've learned the hard way. Maybe God's given you a word, you've seen, if you had a dream, and you share it prematurely, or even with the wrong person or people, they'll stamp on it. And sometimes they'll judge you or mock you for it. Appreciate what God has done and only share it with people close to your inner circle. There's a time when Jesus had a moment where he had to heal someone's daughter, Jairus. His daughter was sick, and Jesus said, she's not sick, she's only sleeping. She's not sick, she's only sleeping, but people said, but she is dead, we can see that. And they mocked Jesus for that. So when Jesus walked in, he chased everybody outside. And only the mom and dad stayed behind, and Peter, James, and John. Pay attention to that, because sometimes you have to remove the negative voices in your life. And those voices want to challenge your faith. Your faith will be challenged. Every step we take is a step of faith. If God has spoken words of healing over you, these are words of faith. Treasure it. Capture these moments. And the last example of Jesus only taking these 3 disciples was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember? Before his crucifixion. Come and pray. Come just wait here with me. Watch with me while I pray. These are precious moments you don't want to drag everybody in there. So be mindful of these moments and your inner circle and ask the Holy Spirit, who are those people? Who are those key people to journey with you and to cross over with you? Let's look at Joshua. I love the story, Joshua chapter 4. Now, obviously, you guys know the story about, you know, them crossing through the Red Sea, and God gave them a word about Jericho, and something powerful happened again at the Jordan River. The Jordan River split, and they could cross over. Let's read the scripture here from verse 4. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you will answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. We believe in the, moments of capturing what God is doing. Every prophetic movement, there was a moment that needed to be captured. Every shift, every change, every transition, there were moments of where God poured out his spirit, when God did something miraculous. Before we move on, build a memorial for God. Reading this, he said, before you guys go over, first pick up stones, 12 stones, carry it on your shoulder. If I was that guy, I was like, come on, we've waited forever to get into the promised land. I don't want to pick up these heavy 12 stones. What is this memorial all about? But if you look at that in the flesh, it will not make sense, right? But if God says, if you've just received breakthrough, healing, if God has done something powerful in your life, a new church plant, a new instruction, a new job, something happened, pause and build a memorial for God. Why? So you can remember it, but also your children. Because God is a God of the generations. The generational blessing must carry on. What God is doing in this church must be spoken about from now and for the next 10 years, or however long. The next generations, they will have to talk about it. What God has established here. And I can tell you this, before Shofar Boston started, there were many people praying in this area. And God is honoring their prayers. And so that's how we capture these moments. So don't be in a rush to go over to the next season. Pause. These are defining moments. Defining moments for your family. Defining moments for your generation. For your school. For your community. Capture it. And how do we do it? We don't have to build a physical monument today. If you're that gifted, go right ahead. But it can be something like a celebration meal. Do a braai together. God has done this for me. And someone was talking about the testimony, right? Let's testify what God has done. That is building a memorial in the spirit. It can mean also write a new song. It can be taking the covenant meal. We will do that in a few minutes. Taking the covenant meal and saying, thank you, Lord, for what you have done. You build a memorial in the spirit. But I think it's so important to take something practical and make it visible. When we couldn't have children, waited for 7 years, and we fell pregnant. And, this is now something, I guess, graphic, but Karen's placenta was put in the plant, in the soil. And we have this tree today still, that is a reminder of us of what God has done. And we take that tree wherever we go, from Durban to Cape Town. When I look at that tree, it's not an ordinary tree. It's a reminder of us what God has done. When people said it couldn't be done, God said it can be done. So you alone can say, what can I build today or create today as a memorial for what God has done? Amen? So I just wanted to do one more thing, but I want to ask Karen to quickly talk to us about the alignment. Okay, and I'll close. Very powerful. In times of transition, we have to be mindful of where we are so we can make decisions effectively. Thank you, Karen.
Be ready in season and out of season. Hi. okay, so when we were still living in KZN, I was doing a counseling session, and sorry, Siko, I am the person that God shows photos to. and I was doing this counseling session, and this lady just really wasn't grasping why things in her life kept on going out of sync. She was going to church, she was doing all the right things, but stuff just wasn't going right in her life. And sitting in the counseling session, it's sometimes a little bit intimidating. You're sitting opposite the person, you're like, Lord, I need wisdom. Please, Jesus, I need wisdom. What do I say? I know what I can pull out of a textbook, but that's not what you want to say in this moment. And God dropped this picture in my head. And it is such a powerful picture. And I always say, I wish I was a graphic artist and I could actually draw it. So God showed me this picture of this massive rain cloud. And this rain cloud is the Holy Spirit. And it's full and it's bursting and it's raining. It's just like this constant raining cloud of goodness and presence and miracles and healing and breakthrough. Then there's us. And we are made up of three parts. We are spirit, soul, and body. Okay, and our spirit is actually the only part of us that can truly receive the greatness from the Holy Spirit, spirit-to-spirit connection. And God just showed me this vessel. So it's this spirit, this human spirit just standing like this, just receiving this water. And then God said, but then stuff comes in. Our minds, because our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions, right? So stuff climbs into our minds. We start to get these thoughts. We start to feel depressed. We start to feel anxious. And what starts to happen is this massive vessel kind of starts to tilt a little bit. And our soul becomes bigger. And the picture God showed me is this kind of triangle where it was spirit, soul, body. And God said, okay, I'm still raining down. Spirit is still receiving some, but it's not receiving the full potential. And then what often happens with us is that when stuff with our soul is going wrong, when we're feeling down, we're feeling depressed, we're our heads are running all over the place. I'm ADHD, so my head often runs away with me. Then what often happens, Gunther hit it on the head earlier. With me, something physical will happen to me. So I love riding horses, so I'll be riding a horse, and I will be going full speed, and something in the back of my head, the Holy Spirit, will be going, Karen, slow down. But Karen's soul, I'm like, woohoo, we're going for it. And I'm having so much fun. My soul is being fed, right? Not my spirit. My soul is being fed. I'm excited. And then what will happen? I'll fall off. Or, you know, the horse will do something weird, and I'll get physically injured. Then God showed me this whole picture flipped on its head. So now my body, I'm physically incapable of doing something. I've got a broken arm or a broken leg or whatever. In the one case I'm thinking of, I actually had a broken hyoid. And I physically can't talk. I'm broken. So then what happens? You don't go to church because you don't feel like it. Or you get sick, you know, you get a cold. You're constantly in your head, constantly feeling down. You're like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I can't do this anymore. And then you get a cold and you get the flu. And then what happens? I don't want to go to church. I don't want to go to small group. I don't want to be in fellowship of the believers because I don't feel like. Okay, and then God showed me this whole picture upside down. And he said, Karen, where in this picture is that spirit vessel? It's sitting right at the bottom. How much rain is that vessel receiving? Because the body's up there, and then it's the spirit. Then it's the soul, and then it's the spirit. So how much rain is the spirit receiving? Very little. And it is supposed to be feeding the soul and feeding the body. And God said to me, the only way to write that alignment, so most of you, especially guys, alignment, if you think alignment, you think cars. If your car alignment is out, you ain't going nowhere in the right direction, right? So God said, you need to get into accountability. Find someone who will literally, the picture he showed me is literally someone kicking that bottom thing right way up. So that once again, your spirit can receive from the Holy Spirit.
Stand with me, Karen. So yeah, we're very passionate about this alignment because we believe that God wants to really release this the last time saints into the right place of influence. Marketplace, schools, wherever God has called you to go, but this has to be in place, this alignment. And it often happens at the crossroads. And so at the crossroads, we believe God wants to flip this thing over into the right position, number one, for you to receive and for you to go. Amen? So we want to just pray over you for that to happen because I believe that, yeah, God has got a plan and His ways are perfect and God is not confused. The enemy wants to confuse you, the church, but God is not the author of confusion. So I just want to pray over you guys for something to be released, amen? So just posture your hearts, and then I'm going to call Bradley to lead us into communion. Father, thank you for the right frequency right now. The right frequency, we are tuning in to you, Lord, your voice. Thank you, Father God, for alignment happening in the hearts of people this morning. Thank you, Lord, that all is not lost. I just feel like someone is feeling here this morning, you're feeling, all is lost. I've messed up. I've gone too far. It's too late. And so, Father, we just rebuke that voice of condemnation where the enemy wants to bully your son and your daughter. We come against that in the name of Jesus. So, Father, thank you for the affirmation happening right now in the Spirit, affirming your people, Lord. Thank you for identity, for strength to rise up on the inside, in the inner man. Thank you, Father God, that they can know the truth and the truth will set them free. Thank you for freedom in this house, Lord. We celebrate what you have done, what you have established. So we call on you to rise up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God, for healing brokenness, Lord, in the spirit, where there have been wounds, trauma, depression, anxiety, fears. The Bible says the spirit of fear paralyzes, but perfect love drives out fear. So, Father, thank you for your perfect love right now in this building that's tangible, lifting people up, Lord, and healing the broken heart. Thank you, Father God, for that roar. We agree with that. That roar to come up from the inner man in the name of Jesus. That God is for me and He is not against me. Thank you, Father, for the boldness. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. So, So Father, thank you for the boldness in this church and what you want to release through this congregation, Lord, in this community and surrounding communities. Though your beginning is small, great shall be your end. Thank you for the stepping stones. Thank you for alignment. Thank you for just, Father God, bringing the right people into this space, Lord God, to help them fulfill the call that you've called them to do, Lord, the assignment you've called them to fulfill. We thank you, Lord God, that you are in this building, Lord God. You're in this place, shifting things. And we agree with you, Holy Spirit. Spirit of wisdom, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gunther. Yeah, before we rush off, let's just pause for a moment. Let's pause. Pause at the crossroads quickly. I'm going to ask Rieta and Ashila if they can just assist with communion quickly, handing out the communion. And this morning, thank you, Gunther, for your words. Really a good word in season for us as a family. We really appreciate that. But this morning, I just want us to just to pause quickly. Just pause for that moment quickly. Jesus is with us. One of the things that we believe God has called us as a church for is that communion is one of those things what we do, where Jesus said, whenever you do this in remembrance to me. But I'm telling you that remembrance doesn't mean just remember the cross. He's like, I'll be with you in that moment. I am with you at the table. I'm sitting with you right now. And one of the things that we believe God has called us to, one of the rhythms of our life that we believe God has called us to, is that we must be with Jesus. We become like Him and we're doing what He does. And one of the things is we can only become like Jesus when we are with Him. You can't be like someone if you don't spend time with Him. When you're in a new relationship with someone, you get to know the person by being with the person. So let us pause, let us reflect, and let us just acknowledge the presence of God right now with us. I know we are a little bit over time this morning, but as the worship team is just going to play in the background, let us just quiet our hearts. Let's stand at the crossroad this morning with Jesus and ask Him, Spirit of Wisdom, what it is that you want us to do. Okay. Can we do that? Cool. So I would say turn to one another, but I think this is a personal thing. I think let's do it individually this morning. Let's individually sit. I know the introverts will love me right now. trying to get my brownie points. But anyways, so yeah, just on your own with the person next to you if you want to. Grab a person next to you, but just on your own, just be quiet before God right now. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you that we can have communion because of Jesus Christ, Lord. Thank you that you want our spirits, Lord. You want us to come fill us today, Lord. I pray for the right alignment in our hearts and in our spirit, Lord, that we can be filled from a spirit, Lord, that the rest of our soul and our body can function as it should, Lord. We thank you for your divine alignment in our lives, Lord. I'm going to close the service now, but if you have any prayer requests, please come to the front. I'll be in front. Some of the leaders will be in front as well. I'm just going to pray a blessing over us. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you, and the Lord may be gracious to you. Therefore, go in peace. Amen. Get some coffee. Pour someone a coffee. Grab someone if you haven't seen them in a while. Catch up. Yeah. Enjoy.